Father, we thank you so much that you have graced us by sending your own Son, full of mercy, full of truth. And we ask, Lord God, that you would cause us to reflect throughout this season, throughout this time, upon your Son, to meditate upon the truths of your word, and to love you and to seek you and to follow you with everything that we have, Lord God. May you be honored and glorified as you deserve. We thank you for all of your grace and mercy and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would like to invite children to come up. If you're scared, you don't have to, but... And I want to say something as the children are coming up. Just have a seat around me on the steps. In the New Testament times, children were not looked highly upon. And I don't know if you recall, but the apostles, when the children came to Jesus, the apostles tried to ward off the children. Get these children out of here. Can't you see the master is teaching? And Jesus rebuked them strongly. And he said, "To such as these, the kingdom of heaven is given." Okay? Children are very important to Jesus. They're very special to Jesus. And this was completely countercultural to everything that was going on in Jesus' day in terms of all of the other religious teachers. The other religious teachers thought that you needed to have a height of intellect. You needed to be able to sort through all of this theology and work through all of the ideas. And Jesus taught that unless we become as little children in our hearts, we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and that's why we want to focus this morning on the children, okay? I've got a few topics prepared, and I would like the children to join in as we discuss these topics, and hopefully you can learn something as well. All right. Well, the first thing I want to ask us about is Bethlehem. Who knows what Bethlehem is and why it's important? Yeah, go ahead. That's right. Bethlehem is the city where Jesus is born. Yeah, go ahead. That's right. It's also called the city of David. Go ahead. That's right. It's special that Jesus was born there. That's right. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, and Jesus was born there. These are great answers. You heard it in the songs we sang this morning. Bethlehem is such an important city. But did you know it was an important city even before Jesus? Ruth and Boaz actually lived in Bethlehem, and King David himself was born in Bethlehem. That is part of why it's called the city of David. Now, do you guys know what Bethlehem means? It actually comes from a Hebrew word. Do you guys know? It's okay. It means house of bread, okay? Bethlehem means house of bread. Can you guys think why it would be called house of bread, knowing that Jesus would come? Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's like, what is the same color as that building?
Yeah, you can see that, absolutely. Go ahead. Right? Joseph would break the bread there, very good, yes. That's exactly right. Jesus broke bread and he said, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Fantastic. Go ahead.
They painted it all colors, like purple.
Yeah, that's right. There are all the colors and we celebrate them with the variety of colors and the lights during Christmas. Go ahead. That's right. Exactly right. The one to whom I hand the bread will crucify me and betray me, and that is Judas Iscariot. That's exactly right. Jesus said that he is the bread of life, and whoever eats from him will never hunger again. We all get physically hungry. We all get thirsty, and Jesus turned this into a spiritual principle for us. He said, we're hungering spiritually, and if we eat of the bread of Christ that he gives to us, then we will never hunger spiritually again. Very good. I want to talk about another topic, and that's the topic of the star. Why is the star so important during Christmas? Go ahead.
It led the wise men to Jesus.
Right, exactly right. Yeah, go ahead. It marked the place where Jesus would be born. Very good. Yeah.
Go ahead. It brought Christmas.
That's right. It brought Christmas. Go ahead. That's a great question. The question was, how did the wise men know that the star meant a king was going to be born? Yeah, go ahead.
I think I remember me and my grandpa did this in the Bible. I think Jesus once said, I am the light of the world.
That's exactly right. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and it's a perfect example of the star that would show the way to Jesus. Go ahead. That's exactly right. There is a lot of speculation among scholars about the star that appeared. A lot of people said it was perhaps the stars in the heavens, maybe pointed to a specific topic. Hold on, buddy. Yes, you need to answer a question, buddy. But also, there's the idea that if you read in Matthew chapter 2, the star actually moves forward and it stands above the place where Jesus is to be born. And some scholars say that you would never be able to detect that from a star that was way up in the sky. And so some have actually said that this star was not a star up in the heavens in that way, but in fact a spiritual star, if you will, a spiritual phenomena. And the wise men were able to see it because they were godly men and women who God opened up their eyes to see this spiritual reality. So there's a lot of speculation, but that's one idea. Go ahead. That's exactly right. They saw the star and they followed it. Yeah.
They followed it because they wanted to bring baby Jesus presents.
That's right. They wanted to bring baby Jesus presents. They brought the gifts. That's correct. Go ahead. That's right. The gifts were gold, myrrh, and spices, a specific spice known as frankincense. Very, very good. Of course, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, as we heard before. And so the star is not only significant in that it revealed in time in history that Jesus would be born, but it also goes upon the top of the tree so that we can remember that Jesus is the light of the world. Heavenly, go ahead. Yeah, I understand. And sometimes it's easy to forget what they're looking for, but God led them the right way so that they could find the baby Jesus. All right, I want to go to another topic, okay? This topic is the topic of the manger. We sang it this morning, Away in a Manger. What is a manger? Does anyone know what a manger is? Whoa, go ahead. That's exactly right. Yeah, go ahead. That's exactly right. Very good. Yeah, go ahead. That's right. The inn was full. There was no room for Jesus to be born in the inn. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, very good. That sounds like fun. Go ahead. Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, a manger, it's important to recognize, was not a crib, okay? This is not how we think of a crib today. Instead, a manger was a feeding trough. This was a raised platform, sometimes made of wood or even concrete, something that they had to kind of raise this up, and they laid all of the food in there for the animals to come feed in. Now, of course, it was shaped in a bowl-like fashion to hold all of the food, and yet Jesus, because he was born in... But because he was born there, he had to be placed inside of the manger, right? And so that's the idea. Now, what is the significance of the fact that Jesus was placed into a manger? There's a spiritual significance here.
Go ahead. They would lay a lamb before they sacrificed it and wrap it in swaddling clothes and put it in a manger. And they did this with Jesus to...
That's right.
So a manger was shaped in a way that looked very similar to an altar, okay? And that altar is ultimately what that would symbolically represent for Jesus being sacrificed. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead.
That's exactly
right. There was no room for them in the inn.
That's very important.
Exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
Mary gave birth to him, and then after he was born, she wrapped him in the swaddling cloths and then laid him in the manger because they didn't have a crib or any sort of bed for him, right? And I want to emphasize what was just said is Jesus wanted to be born in a humble way. He wanted to take on the everyday things that men and women go through. And so that is part of why God ordained it, that there would be no room in the inn, so that Jesus could actually be born in a humble and lowly way. The Bible says that Jesus, although he's made in the form and the image of God, did not regard equality with God something to be held on to at any cost, but instead he took on the form of a servant, even a slave, to be born and die on our behalf. So that's a beautiful, beautiful idea. I want to move on to another topic. This is the topic of Emmanuel. What does the word Emmanuel mean?
Go ahead.
God with us. That's right. God with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
God with us, because
that's right.
One of your lines from the Christmas play. You knew it was God with us. Yeah, go ahead.
God was with them. Good job,
buddy. Yeah, go ahead.
The line in that song, I can't remember its name. Why does it say, "O come, O come, Emmanuel"?
It's because we're
anticipating Jesus to come. You see, God with us, the idea that Jesus would come and dwell with us, is an important Old Testament prophecy. It's actually found in the book of Isaiah, and it looks forward to Jesus to come. Matthew actually quotes the same passage, and he says that Jesus is Emmanuel, that is God with us. Why does Jesus represent, or why does Jesus fulfill the prophecy that God would be with us?
What do you guys think? Go ahead. That's right.
Absolutely, buddy. Go ahead.
I think it's because Jesus is God's son, so it wouldn't, and probably because they're not so close before he came to Jesus.
That's exactly
right. Jesus was anticipated to be God on earth as the only begotten Son of God, as the one and only Son of God, the one unique Son of God. Jesus came and dwelt in a body of flesh, and so he truly is the God-man. He's 100% man, he's 100% God. If you ask your math teacher what that adds up to, I don't know, it's confusing, okay? But these are the mysteries of God's Word, and Jesus came to live and dwell among us. Go ahead.
That's right. That's right. Very good.
I want to talk about another topic. This is a topic of pine trees or Christmas trees, okay? What is the significance of a pine tree or a Christmas tree?
Go ahead. Yeah.
And instead, he showed them a pine tree, and then as a symbol.
That's a great answer.
So in medieval Christian tradition, there was actually the worship of a particular oak tree that was dedicated to a pagan god. And Boniface comes and he chops down that tree. He chops down the oak tree. And everyone said, oh no, you better be prepared for the wrath of the gods. And he points over instead to a pine tree in order to indicate that Christ is Lord and King. Very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
How about
That's right.
The star represents what we talked about earlier, Jesus as the light of the world. And not only that, ornaments, they say, may have started because people would actually decorate the Christmas tree with little wafers. They would put these wafers on the Christmas tree to represent the Lord's Supper. And so they started putting these wafers on the Christmas tree, and it eventually turned into all of the ornaments that we like to make and decorate the tree with. What else? What other ideas do you guys have about the pine tree or the Christmas tree? Go ahead.
That's right.
A pine tree is also known as an evergreen, and it's because it stays green all year round. You notice the aspens here when we drive around. Their trees turn a different color, and then they wither and fall off the tree, and those trees are barren all through the winter. But not so with the pine tree. And they like to put forward the pine tree, the evergreen tree, as a symbol or an image of Christ who would never die, and Christ who is risen forevermore. Tertullian, the early church father, actually said, he said, "You're a city on a hill, a tree evergreen." And that's a reference to a pine tree. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's an interesting fact. Interesting. Very good. I got you.
Yeah, that could be problems if it wasn't too secure. Go ahead. There are many different types of trees. A spruce is one. There are certain firs. And these trees are called coniferous trees because they bear cones, a pine cone, right? So there are many different kinds of trees that are like this, but the pine tree is kind of the quintessential one. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sometimes
trees can absolutely grow together with their root systems or the trees themselves. Very good. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I wouldn't be surprised, though. Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
What about if they hang that tree down, the star will be on top, and then it will poke the floor?
Oh, that's right.
They might have to be careful about that one. All right, I have one more topic that I want to bring up. This is the topic of king. King. What does the topic of a king have to do around Christmas time?
Go ahead.
The king is Jesus, and a king is a ruler.
That's right.
You nailed it. A king is a ruler over a kingdom, right? And we're pointing to King Jesus. Go ahead.
A king is someone who has power over a certain region and to
That's right.
A king had a lot of authority, especially back in this day and age. Go ahead.
Did you forget? That's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. No one can
take God's place. Go ahead.
That's right. That's right.
God sent those angels to tell people that Jesus would come, and he was coming to be king of the Jews. The wise men, when they showed up, they said, "We've come to worship the king of the Jews." That was their mentality and mindset. And of course, Herod was there at that time. He was an alternate king, and he recognized this king of the Jews threatened his rulership. So King Herod went through and he tried to have a decree that all of the firstborn would be killed. But that's why God preserved Jesus through Joseph and Mary fleeing, and then they returned at a later time. Go ahead.
Didn't that happen
Yes, it's
a perfect principle or picture of how evil through Satan manifests itself time and time again. During Moses' time in the Exodus, right, there was also a similar thing going on with the that same decree. And this pattern actually happens over and over throughout the Bible. And, of course, King Herod is the culmination of it. But Jesus would come, king of the Jews, and he ended up taking a death on our behalf and dying in our place so that we could go free. He's king of the Jews. Pilate asked him this. If you read all four Gospels, Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he doesn't answer in the three. And then in John, he says, "You have said so," right? It's very, very interesting to see how Jesus interacts with this idea that he is king of the Jews. But of course, this king has a kingdom, all right? All kings have a kingdom that they rule over. And Jesus' kingdom is not a kingdom of flesh and blood. It is a spiritual kingdom. Does anyone know how we can enter into Jesus' spiritual kingdom and he could become our spiritual king?
Go ahead. That's all right. No problem. Yeah, go ahead.
John 3:16 says, "Whoever shall believe in me shall not perish."
That's exactly right. Go ahead.
You believe in him and trust him as your Savior, and then you will have eternal life forever with him in heaven.
That's exactly right. Very good. Yeah, go ahead. That's exactly right. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Very, very good. Pilar.
That's all right. No problem. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. That's right. In a manger. And so that's the Christmas story, and that's why we celebrate all of these things. It's because of the fact that Jesus came. He was born on this earth in a body just like we have. He had flesh and bone just like we have, and he went through his life. He suffered a terrible pain on the cross, and he died and rose again, defeating death, so we could all have newness of life. Just as so many said, if we repent and believe in Jesus, we can have new life too. We can enter into Jesus' spiritual kingdom, and he can become our spiritual king. Go ahead.
That's right. He rose again the third day.
Okay, very good, children. I would like to invite you to go back to your seats. I'm going to offer a quick prayer for us, and then we are going to sing a last song together. Father God, we thank you so much for sending your Son. And we ask, Lord God, that you would help us to remember who Jesus is and what he did throughout the rest of today and the rest of this week, Lord, and in the many days to come. We thank you for all of your grace and mercy, Lord, and we ask that you would teach us and help us to walk in wisdom, in truth, and to follow you with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.